Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 159. And this week, returning as if he was the Christmas present we received early, it's Tom Hunter.
That you want to return.
Exactly, yeah. If you didn't listen to the Christmas special, Tom's joining us. Tom, remind the listeners who you support.
I'm a Glasgow Celtic fan. Yeah, so the accent tells.
We've got an exotic foreign fan now. Very exciting, isn't it? Of course, myself and Dan are here as well for another week. I've really been enjoying football this week.
Oh, I bet you
it's
have.
It's been wonderful. No, I think it's as good a place to start as any with what is going on at United at the moment.
What is going on at United?
It's hard to... I mean, last night I wasn't surprised with defeat. I was a bit annoyed. I don't think it was a penalty, but these things happen. As I said the other week with the Tottenham results, sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. They do even out over the season, etc, etc. The thing is, at the moment, we can't complain. We've lost three on the bounce now, but we know we're a team in transition. We know what the issues are there. And you've got...
Why are you a team in transition?
Well, because the squad, clearly there are a lot of flaws to it. We've just lost the manager we've had for 27 years.
Yeah, but the squad's not changed.
It's aged. And so,
by like 6 months.
But a lot of the players who were there last season... Well, we've lost Paul Scholes. He's one who made,
barely played last year, but did
make a bit of an impact. But yeah, a lot of the players are aging. You can see the injuries building up now for Vidic, Ferdinand, not Evra to the same extent. We've also had a lot more injuries than we had last year. So Rooney's been out on and off for the last month. So Van Persie's been out for about the last 2 months on and off.
I think that's your biggest problem, Michael.
I
think your biggest problem is that United, I'm sorry, but a very average team.
The fundamental point
is that last year you had an average team with an excellent goal scorer and a good playmaker, and an excellent playmaker in Rooney.
Yeah.
And he had a solid enough defence, although Vidic and Ferdinand fucked up quite a few times last year as well. But mistakes were coming through. The problem is that you have, I'm sorry, but I think you genuinely have an average team that was 50% put on. 50% was put on by Ferguson. I don't understand how one man can make a difference out of a team like that.
Well, that's why he's arguably the greatest manager ever. I mean, that's sort of the point I'm trying to make, is that we do have a very average team, hence the transition. We've brought in players who haven't replaced ones that have left maybe 3-4 years ago. I mean, even people like Dimitar Berbatov, he still had that spark that could change a game. That maybe,
without a doubt.
Maybe Danny Welbeck's starting to develop, not in the same way, but he's starting to score goals. Hernandez kind of has, but we don't offer much more than goals. I think saying it's a two-man team, as a lot of people have, it is a disservice to certain players like De Gea, who's been consistently brilliant for the last 18 months. Raphael, who's been injured on and off but has been very good whenever he's played at right back. Last season, not to the extent.
He's alright.
They are good enough to be in a top team, but they're not good enough to be the core of the top team. Players like Raphael.
Surely doesn't it remind you of that Keane Vieira thing on the other day when they showed the midfield? Back then, you see a midfield of Keane, Scholes, Beckham and Giggs, and no one in the Premiership wanted to play against them.
No.
You now see a midfield of Cleverley, Anderson, people like Fletcher coming back.
Yeah.
No one would be scared of that midfield.
Well, I mean, it's the first time in... I said it last season as well, because it's pretty much the same team last season, that I would not swap... I'd hardly swap any Spurs players for in my first 11 at Spurs for any United players. I barely would swap.
I think we've had this debate before, and obviously
it's weird. It's weird. Like normal, up until every day it'll be like, United.
I think the depressing thing is the fact that there's even a conversation on this, because with no disrespect to Spurs, the fact that United are being now put in with teams like Spurs, Everton, and even
below,
Newcastle were above them, and they hadn't had a good season at all. Above Man U in the league.
I don't think you can quite say below yet, given that there is only a few points within.
In terms of the general positioning,
over the course of the season, you wouldn't be surprised if United did eventually end up above Spurs.
At the moment, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. You get Rooney and Van Persie back, and then it won't be a surprise.
Didn't help the defence.
But I think the defence in place is... The problem is we've had so much transition in defence this year. The we haven't had a solid first two centre-halves because Ferdinand and Vinch have had a lot of injuries. Johnny Evans, I think he's good enough, but he's still not leading the defence as well as he should. I think Smalling's had a poor season.
I don't think he's good enough to play for United, if we're talking about United.
I certainly think Johnny Evans... I think he's certainly good enough to be considered a good centre-half,
but he's not a great centre-half.
Maybe not good enough to be the player that is at the heart of your defence. He's good enough to be in there. We spoke about that United midfield, and I was going to say, even when one of those was injured, you had the likes of Nicky Butt or even Jesper Blomqvist, who had a very good year the year we won the treble, as backup. Going forward a few years, maybe you'd talk about, obviously, Varane, who was hit and miss, but Phil Neville played very well.
But then also, you've got to look at the centre-halves for that year. Palace and
exactly,
Bruce were amazing.
The treble year, it was Yapstam and Ronnie Johnson, but then you had Henning Berg, David May.
I was out in a little place called Yarm.
Over Christmas, have you? Yeah.
Is that in Norfolk
or something?
It's in Durham. Durham, Middlesbrough sort of way.
It's near Darlington is the closest place. But I was up there visiting a mate and went for a little night out in Yarm. And as I was coming out of one pub, walked straight past Gary Pannister.
Yeah, he lives up there.
Big Gary Pannister, yeah.
I'm amazed he got off his sofa.
Yeah, no, apparently he is... pretty much found in that pub most Saturdays, just boozing it up.
Oh, well, there's a very good book by Andy Mitten, who was the founder of the United We Stand fanzine, which is all about United. He's done one on the 70s, which is quite interesting at the moment, because a lot of parallels in the teams in transition. I'm reading that at the moment. There's one about players from the 80s and one from the 90s. There's a chapter on Gary Pallister, because he goes to the players who were good, but not necessarily the stars. It's not your Giggs and your Beckhams, it's your Pallisters, your Mays, there is Cantona. But Gary Pallister, the art going into it, because he does just seem like he was a very good footballer, he knew he was good, but once he retired, he's like, well, I just want to enjoy my life now. He's just properly gone for it, and fair enough to him.
Talking about football and spotters, I was out in the Slug and Lettuce around here, Canary Wharfway, a few.
Big Sam?
No. Steve Lomas. So drunk, starting trouble, getting kicked out the Slug and Lettuce Canary Wharf. Mick Harvard having to drag him out before the bounce is set to
him. When was that?
No way.
This was before Christmas sometime.
Oh, so maybe just after.
Brilliant.
Or maybe just
he was definitely still manager at the time.
Well, speaking of, again, spotting footballers and looking a bit worse for wear, we all know about my old mate Nicky Maynard from school, who's now at Cardiff. Well, I'm friends with him on Facebook. And here's the first picture, which I posted up with the show. Which is him, Nicky Maynard's missus, who's got cracking tits. And Fraser Campbell, with the caption, Super Messy New Year's Eve, which was, of course, the night before Cardiff played, and played quite valiantly against Arsenal, losing at the end. Both Maynard and Fraser Campbell played. Nicky looks quite sober. I know he's not much of a drinker. Fraser Campbell, he does look super messy.
He does.
So I'll post that up. But also, I've got from Nicky... the Christmas card that he and his missus sent out, with them and their two kids, in what must be one of the cheesier Christmas cards.
It's a family Christmas card.
Well, you know, again, that'll go up. But it's been like a massive day of football news, it seems. I mean, aside from the fallout from last night's game.
Yes. Football news, massive football news.
Yeah, so
it's Wednesday. Wednesday, isn't it?
Hitzlsperger, you heard that, didn't you?
There has been massive news this morning. Yeah. That's what I mean. So there's no sarcasm. I'm normally taking the piss.
Thomas Hitzlsperger, the shocking news that he won 52 caps for Germany. I mean, where did they go? No, I mean, I'm sure everyone listens to this will have heard he's come out as gay. He retired in the summer. Former Villa, West Ham, Everton,
Stuttgart.
Played for Lazio and Wolfsburg as well, and obviously played for Germany. Fair enough to him. He did an interview with Die Zeit, which I believe means the news. It's a newspaper over in Germany. Good luck to him. I mean, I think we've spoken about this before. It shouldn't really be a story. It is a story, but you know what?
No, well, he's the only Premier League player to have come out. Follows in the footsteps of Anton Heysen, Robbie Rogers and Justin Fashanu,
but
the only professional footballers to have ever come out. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? Especially because
it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because you've got the immediate instance of the weekend, Walcott getting out with coins just putting to showing the score to the fans.
Which I,
so
again, I tweeted about
reaction there.
I tweeted about that, and I think I good on the lads. To be honest, I'm all up for the banter and piss taking in football, and I think some people need to get a sense of humour. And did you see that apparently two of the stretcher bearers, as they call them, were carrying him off, that got hit sort of protecting him, were Spurs fans. Right. Cheers, lads.
Yeah. But
so it comes out. Who was it? Someone tweeted about sort of on the subject of Tom Hitzberger. Alas, at the same time, PSG's Alex says of homosexuality on French TV, God would have created not Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve, but Y-V-E-S, as in the French boys.
And that is Alex, who used to play for Chelsea.
Yeah. But the problem is, right, is that I've, and this is obviously a dangerous, no, not dangerous area, but it's an area for debate, is that I am not religious at all, right? Not even remotely religious. However, I was having a chat with Jerome, ex-pubcaster. I say ex-pubcaster because he's a wanker as I come down for fucking ages.
He'll be back when Aston Villa stopped getting knocked out of the cup by League One.
Yeah, you're right.
Worse than Swansea, you know.
But he sort of made, because we were. I brought this up when Holyfield said on Celebrity Big Brother the other day, and the only reason I know that is because we work for the Mirror, the Gossip. I don't watch Celebrity Big Brother. All right,
yeah,
promise. Because he said gay ain't right. Right, and I was like, you know, and he got told off by Big Brother and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I sort of said, you know, I think it's wrong of Big Brother to have told him off because it's actually his opinion, it's a freedom of speech and stuff like that. But it's all, but you know, it's not, it's a wrong view personally for me. I think he's wrong that, but it's his personal opinion. And the reason it was Jay sort of made of what is it? It's his personal opinion because he's an unbelievably religious man, right? And then the whole debate goes into it. Obviously, Alex, I think, is a very religious guy.
Well, the debate has been around Michael Johnson, the former Derby defender who was on the FA Equality Committee and has resigned this week because in 2012 he went on TV and said that homosexuality was detestable.
As a non-religious, as a person, I think they're completely wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with being gay. But the problem is that when you've been brought up in these ultra-religious families, and that is you've been taught from a young age that that is wrong, this is what people believe. And it's the problem is that you can't change people.
Is that you can still be religious and live and let live.
If it's been drilled into you since a young age.
The one thing that really pees me off, and this is a general thing, is people always use Bible quotes and stuff like Michael Johnson said that it says in the Bible that homosexuality is detestable. But the Bible is 1,000 years old, and 2 can be interpreted.
I don't know how we've managed to get onto the Bible.
We're going
further.
But you know, I think the ultimate thing is fair enough to Tom Hitzlsperger. As soon as you start debating religion and starting going over the nuances of the Bible, you turn into an old firm football fan and start sending abusive tweets to Neil Lennon.
I had a link to the old firm as well.
The chap, the Rangers fan, who has been acquitted of charges, because he wrote an abusive tweet, something about Neil Lennon and sending parcel bombs after 2 other Rangers fans were in court for saying something about it, or for actually sending parcel bombs.
No, they did actually send the parcel bombs.
It
wouldn't have bothered us because we don't know how to create the parcel bomb.
Yeah.
It was just
a parcel.
Had some bomb elements to it, but we didn't put it together correctly.
Did it just have like TNT written on it, like a cartoon thing? Yeah.
Somewhere there's a Coyote in a Rangers shirt, blown to pieces. But no, this chap, so he tweeted something about how he needed to work on his parcel bombs and how he wished Neil Lennon was dead or something. And he said, well, my tweet, I only have 23 followers, was intended only for them. They're all close friends. But at the same time, well, Twitter's public, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you intend that, text it to them. Or don't say it. Don't be a prick.
Speaking of pricks.
Right, there we go.
FIFA.
You'll get used to these terrible links, by the way.
FIFA. Like, this wouldn't mean terrible.
I was a bit.
They're fucking outstanding.
Outstandingly terrible.
I practice this shit.
You do. In front of the mirror.
You'll never get on Blue Peter with those links.
Oh, what? Not with my checkered past. Maybe I'd be perfect for Blue Peter.
Hey, Richard Baker.
Qatar 22.
Yeah.
Not in the summer. Just been released this morning.
Yeah.
WTF.
Confirmed by Jerome Balke, is it? I'm not sure how you pronounce,
it. But it will not be held in June and July. And they're talking about, or someone, I think Martin Lipton or someone tweeted, probably November to January, or late November, like mid-November to mid-January.
Yeah,
or something like that, whatever it is.
And they reckon they've said that from mid-November to the end of December, it is going to be like 25 degrees, so it'll be playable.
Yeah,
that time
of year. And it'll probably be 2021/2022, like that
evening.
Yeah, because because there's a Winter Olympics apparently.
And
2022.
The African Nations Cup in January 2023.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be 2021 basically. So it's not actually going to be 2022.
I think it's a tremendous farce, but at the same time, I'm quite up for a pre-Christmas World Cup.
I don't know. Well, yeah, but you say that we're going to be like old by then.
Oh, well, we'll still be sat in here. Well, not in here, but in a pub.
I mean, yeah. I doubt.
Well, I really hope we're sat in here.
I'm actually sat here, it'd be fucking depressing.
God, fucking hell. Especially if we're still doing this. Welcome to show 3,308. Jesus Christ.
Well, one of us. It's a bit difficult, though, because the World Cup's, no matter how way you cut it, it's a European based tournament. Even if, like, for the seasons, that's just the way it is. You look at all of it, and the majority of teams that qualify and get to the later stages are European, with a smattering of
South American.
Yeah. and then maybe occasionally you'll get an Asian or African team that'll break through. But
so it seems a little odd that that's done, especially when the seasons, I don't even know, but the season's insane in South America. No football seasons.
To be honest, most football seasons are going to be disrupted, because apart from nations like the Scandinavian and Russian nations and some really tropical nations, most of them don't have at least a major break in the winter. And if you're talking about stopping football from what would have to be 2 weeks before the tournament starts and starting again, maybe at the earliest 2 weeks after the end, you're talking about taking 2 months out in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
So it, obviously they'll work a way of shifting it. It might be that the season starts in July.
You never know. It could be quite
June,
good. At least all these big clubs will have to invest in and actually play their own youth players for that. Really? So you'll see, possibly, maybe not homegrown, but home-produced.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, but so we're thinking that the season will carry on as normal, but
I doubt it,
because the big clubs have got too much power. So
there'll be a
push-out break in the season.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, there will be a big transfer flurry for players from, say it was happening now, Zlatan Ibrahimovic would be really popular in the transfer market at the moment, because they know they're not going to really lose him. He'll be able to play all the way up to it beforehand and straight away afterwards, because Sweden haven't qualified. And that's
right.
But you know what? Who knows?
It's mental, though.
It's
really
mental.
It's fucking mental.
It's a long time.
What
and
are
it
they
might
talking
change,
about?
But you know.
Tell you what. Oh no, it's not really mental. No, go.
I've got something that is a bit crazy. So, has anyone heard of the footballer Ryan Zico Black?
No.
He plays for Guernsey FC in the non-league. He's a bit of a non-league journeyman. He did play for Northwich Vicks many years ago. He's played abroad a bit. Basically, his dad is a crazy Irishman who decided he wanted to call his kid Zico. And the mum settled on Ryan Zico Black. He's gone on to be fairly undistinguished semi-professional football. He did play a couple of times for Northern Ireland under 21. Because of his name, he recently played in and scored a charity match in the Maracana with Zico, the real Zico.
Because his name was Zico.
Because Zico heard about him, invited him over to play in last year, but he got injured. So I think Romario played as well. Lucas Piazon, or whatever he's called, the Chelsea lad who's out on loan at the moment, played. Juan, the Brazil centre-half, played like proper.
Yeah, right.
And he scored, and he's a centre-half. He went
brilliant.
There, he scored brilliant. But it's a great story. Speaking of obscure footballers.
I know, before you do that,
go on.
Speaking of who wouldn't have played?
Eusebio. Rest in peace, Eusebio.
God, I should have mentioned him before now, really.
One of the greatest if not the greatest Portuguese footballer of all time.
At the moment.
People talk about Figo and Ronaldo, but Eusebio.
733 goals in 745 games or something. Like, God. I mean, Ronaldo, your track record's quite good.
Ronaldo,
but it's not that, is it?
His 400th goal this week, he's going to have to go a long way to score another 333.
I mean, different class. No, I've got some good friends in Lisbon who are Benfica fans, and I went to the stadium when I was over there, saw him play. You always get a little. I think whenever you go to a country, you sit in the home stand and you go to a little game, you always have a little affiliation with that club.
Yeah.
I've got the scarf in my wardrobe, and just seeing the scenes at the stadium and stuff. And I think he quoted the saying, wasn't he? When I die, please take my body to Benfica Stadium.
Yeah.
And they did. They did. They brought the coffin to the stadium, and like, he loved Benfica. I got a little bit emotional again when I was reading about it.
Very linked to English football and British football as well, because he had a good friend, I can't remember his name, who played for Rangers after they played in the charity game, and he played against Celtic a few times. He obviously played in the 68 final against United. He was top scorer in 66
when we knocked him out in the semi-finals.
Arguably the best player at the tournament.
I don't know what it is, when an iconic sports star, especially when it's football, especially something like that, like when you read about the tributes and when they die, I'm soft as shit, really.
Put it this way, both the Mirror and the Daily Record off Scottish sister paper published four-page pullouts on his career. Not many British footballers, let alone international footballers, get that. I mean, you would have only thought maybe Pele and Maradona would get that treatment, but... Fair enough, absolutely.
It's considered in their class comfortably, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And
Portugal have never replaced him as a centre forward. Never replaced him. They've never had another top class out and out strike. They've had wingers like Figo, Ronaldo, midfielders, but I mean, who else have they had? Pauleta?
Oh, what about Helder Postiga?
Sorry, I completely forgot.
Fucking hell, Coxon.
Helder Postiga, yeah, there we go.
He left Spurs as a pile of shit
and started
scoring goals. Wanker. Speaking of, I've got a naughty boy. I've got a few naughty boys, actually.
There's loads of naughty boys this week.
There's shitloads of naughty boys this week. Michael Chopra, did you see that yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Is it him getting it wrong?
Yeah,
just
apparently
a couple of extras being brought in.
Yeah, no, supposedly.
Badly organised.
So he's tweeted. So Michael Chopra of Blackpool, in case anyone wasn't sure.
Of William Hill fame.
Yeah.
That's harsh, sorry.
This is a direct quote. Fucking joke this, coming in training, only six fucking players here, then find out the fitness coach has taken the football session. Hashtag joke. So what it turns out, that Ince had given the majority of the first team players the morning off, apparently, and had brought in a few players to have an extra fitness session with the fitness coach. That is what has been reported.
Yeah.
Whether or not that is to save face and truth, we don't know.
Chopra has obviously got that completely.
He is, and he's gone, and so he's been fined $10,000, and they reckon that's pretty much him out.
Well, they're going to give the $10,000 to charity, aren't they?
Yeah.
And speaking of donating to charity, have you seen what the Bournemouth fans have done for the Burton fans?
Yes, pay for the travel?
Yes, so to give a bit of background, when Bournemouth got promoted from League 2 a few years ago, and they're now in League 1, that's what I meant to say. They played their last game of the season, or the game that they went
fucking
up in.
No, that was not.
It's this place. We need to find a new pub.
Fuck me, that stinks. Oh, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Fucking wrong.
But anyway, what isn't wrong is that Burton let the Bournemouth fans celebrate. You're really hospitable to them going up. The fans really appreciate it. And there's been a bit of a friendly link between two clubs. So Burton were going to play Bournemouth at the weekend. Fans travel down from just north of the Midlands. I'm not going to call it the north because I don't think Burton is the north.
It's definitely the north.
It's in that grey area.
It's north of Watford. Thank you.
Well, there you go. But it's south of Crewe, which is the northerners' creed for the south. So we'll agree to disagree. But so they all travel down to Bournemouth. Obviously a long slog. The game was called off to the.
This is a long fucking story for basically they pay for their travel,
it's
right?
It's because we keep debating
just,
things.
Just no, we don't.
But
no,
basically the Bournemouth fans started a small whip around online.
I've already told them the punch story. Like,
yeah,
why are we still going with this?
For Burton travel, but because we're talking about the charity. So what they wanted to raise something like £500.
Right.
They've raised just short of £3,000. Of which Eddie Howe, the Bournemouth manager, said he wants the rest to go to cancer research. It's a really heartwarming story
Very
of
heartwarming.
Fans actually
Very heartwarming.
Getting on, which prompts
speaking
a question.
Of charity.
Well, I was going to say it prompts a question, but we'll let you go on to charity.
Oh, why
fuck
not?
The question.
Yeah, fucking
fuck
hell. Just stop talking for
the
a minute,
question
Michael.
Was going to be if you
sake.
Want £1 million, but fuck it, go on.
Well, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, this is probably a ridiculous story.
Well, it's not.
Well,
it's,
let's see.
It's about someone else raising money for cancer research, even. Not £3,000, three measly grand.
Three measly grand?
Three measly grand.
Sorry,
more like
born,
50.
Mate.
More like 50. Tom Huddleston finally scoring a fucking goal.
Yes.
Got his head shaved. I mean, shit lid, by the way. Have you seen the new haircut? God, shit lid.
Shit looks like, lid. He looks like
slightly
less fat
Anderson. It's not a fucking
Mohican. It's not like the world's most shit giant quip.
Yeah.
It's awful. Anyway, but the good stuff is that he said. Awesome. He's apparently originally said he wanted to raise about $75,000. And he's already around the $50,000 mark, having not scored for nearly 3 years. I like the fact we're sort of celebrating that he's been doing this for... I mean, to be fair, he has been doing it for charity, but it's a good job.
Not scoring.
Yeah, exactly. Cancer Research can really thank the fact that he's that shit that he can't score. But no, yeah, and he also... So he's not only raised for $50,000. He's also put... Or someone... someone has put a lock of his hair that has been cut off on eBay. It's been sold for $6,500 nearly. So that's an extra.
Please tell me you bought that back himself.
No,
out there that's that much that of a Huddleston insane. Fan.
The hair attracted 114 bids, with a lucky winner invited to attend Hull City's training ground and have Tom Huddleston present it to them personally.
Bloody
sorry, the description is described as fluffy with one previous owner.
Oh, God.
But anyway, but yeah, it's an extra nearly £6,500 for charity.
On the subject of Tom Huddleston, I was watching Football Focus and they covered this. Now, on there, they were talking about how all the Spurs fans didn't want him to leave in the summer. I don't remember that at all.
I don't know who you're talking about.
It was Martin Keown and Kevin Kilbane talking about, and he's had a very good season, and I do think he's quite a good player, but...
No, but he's an alright player.
He's inconsistent.
He's an alright, but he's not...
It's this supposed quarterback role everyone talks about.
But that's dead, isn't it?
That's just because he looks like he's wearing shoulder pads.
No, it's the same as Carrick, I'm afraid, for your side. It's a player that's not good enough as a midfielder to be a proper midfielder.
I agree.
To get up and down the pitch, score, defend a lot.
It's someone
who just holds back, picks up loose balls, or intercepts. As they say here, who can't really tackle.
No.
They intercept rather than tackle, and then they can put the odd 40 yard ball out to the wing when a fella's in 20 yards.
Completely agree.
And he's not a quarterback in my opinion.
No.
And people have taken that from the likes of Andrea Pirlo, who's done a similar role, but obviously a lot more creatively, very well for years.
It's different in Italy,
though.
Exactly. In Italy, and going back a few years, right? Because I know he's still got it, and he's still this, and he's still that. But like when you've got, but he has to have the players around him to enable him to do that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Like he has to have the Gattuso's around
and
all this sort of stuff.
Those four centre arse and lays on a goal for somebody. Not just this nice fluffy 70 yard to a winger who's in 20 yards of space. This is nothing. That means nothing to the game.
This is what
pick actual killer passes.
This is what has frustrated me this season. I'm not going to talk about killer passes because I'm going to talk about Tom Cleverley. God knows he's never played. But Michael Carrick has got very little stick for having a very quiet season. Tom Cleverley, at least he fucking works. At least he's puts a shift in.
Well, you say that, he does give away penalties though, doesn't he?
With his arse, he can't tackle, but at least he... Well, to be fair, it shouldn't have been a penalty.
I think it was a penalty. I think the commentator was right, he tackled with the wrong foot. He went to tackle with his right foot. It's stupid.
Either way, he made a complete hash of it. Yeah. Well, people seem to hate Tom Cleverley and say he's rubbish.
No, I think hate's the wrong word. Don't rate him.
I spoke to a lot of United fans.
Saying he's great after one season. He's silly.
I think it's absolutely fair to not rate him because he's done... I don't hate him, to be honest. But then this goes back to the fucking idiot football fans.
Yeah, well,
I hate him.
And that's one thing I'll say...
He's done that for the youth. He shagged your missus? No.
One thing I'll say is heartening is that the United fans are still chanting to support the team and not doing a Chelsea or a Liverpool or, dare I say, an Arsenal. Because whenever Wenger's been doing poorly, they all call for his head. At least the fans are getting behind. It might not be the keyboard warriors.
I was going to say that might not last much longer, though.
Well, we'll see.
Because, I mean,
you finish eighth, we'll see how that
goes. Yeah. Oh, of course. But at least it's given a chance, and like Roy Hodgson got off, Galari got off.
If it keeps going that way, Moyes could disappear. Speaking of disappearing, I think it was on Soccer AM last week, or we pinged it around the office the other day. Did you see the Hibs fan disappear after the penalty goal?
No.
It's absolutely amazing. We'll send the clip round. Actually, I'll tweet it off the Pubcast account. there's it's the Edinburgh Derby, and the Hibs fans.
Hibs won for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. We're behind the goal, so they've shot to behind the penalty taker shot. can't remember who scored it. Who scored the penalty? It's put it in the back of the net, yeah. And everyone's jumped up. And as everyone's jumped up, then you just see one Hibs fan, literally, as if a trap door has opened up underneath him, just go woof, straight down, and disappear. It's an awesome. God knows what I'm doing. I reckon he was probably on a railing or something, and he's just slipped. But it literally, he jumps up and then just disappears. It's fucking brilliant.
Speaking of people disappearing,
yes, Mark Coxon, you're getting much better at
this. Suzuki Nakamura.
That was so going to have that one.
Oh, well, you're talking about a wedding cake.
Yeah, the wedding cake, and awesome. How the local. Well, I'll let you describe it, Dan.
No, go on.
Basically,
I think I should describe this one.
Go on.
Having witnessed him score two amazing free kicks against Man U in the Champions League, and seeing him do it for Celtic regularly,
and having already seen him ping a ball 40 yards into the window of a moving bus.
Yep, that was another one of his tricks.
I fucking love that.
I mean, he's his latest one. He looks quite close. When you first see the clip, he looks like he's only about 10, 15 yards.
He's not.
He's got his huge wedding cake and obviously the bride and groom on the top. He takes his run up, smashes it, and it's a good 30 yards away or so, isn't it?
A moving wedding cake.
Oh, was it?
It was going up. Oh. Yeah, it was a moving wedding cake.
I thought it was still.
No. So it started off, it was on some sort of mechanism that meant it started rising and rising, and he's bent it round something and taken no other part of the cake.
Yeah.
One take, apparently, doesn't touch any, but just knocks the bride and groom off. Still got it.
Do you reckon I can get him to come to my wedding next summer?
I mean, I think it might cost you a couple of quid. Unless you're a Japanese TV show, probably not.
Well, you know, I'll have a word and see what I can do. Naughty boy, I've got another naughty boy. Wayne Hennessy. And I'm loath to talk about Gillingham because Jim's not here, but they beat Wolves on Friday.
They did.
And Wayne Hennessy refused to play. He went on strike before the game. He's apologised.
What for?
I think he's sick.
Tell us, Mike.
He wants to leave this month. And he's not getting on very well with Kenny Jackett, the Wolves manager. But the best bit, Carl Henry has come out in defence of his former teammate, Hennessy, and said that Kenny Jackett treats him like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, Carl Henry...
Isn't that what football managers are supposed to do?
Yeah.
Ferguson made a career of it.
Yeah. Kicking boots at people's faces.
Go on.
Was there anything else to that?
No, wasn't.
Okay. What has happened to the rest of them down there? Because he was... refusing to play Doyle, is it O'Hara?
Roger Johnson's gone to West Ham.
Yeah, but that's, what, 6 months of not playing?
He was on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. I think Doyle's back playing.
But he's...
I'm not sure about O'Hara.
Hennessy's wage is like $4,
I did notice that Jamie O'Hara's wife Danielle was back in the papers with a baps out the other day, so maybe they're relying on her income.
Blimey, then. Well, she's got a couple of kids, she's got her baps out again.
Well, you know,
disgusting.
It's amazing what surgeons can do.
Speaking of disgusting, I've got two Muppets of the week, and wonderfully for me, one's a Chelsea fan and one's an Arsenal fan. The Chelsea fan tweeted that he would get either the Chelsea crest or John Obi Mikel's name tattooed on his arse if he scored at the weekend. He scored. He got John Obi Mikel tattooed on his arse, and there's a picture of him looking really quite upset about it.
Oh,
wanker. Don't make stupid bets like that. It's not big, it's not clever, and now you've got a man's name tattooed on your bum.
I'll tell you what, I'll get David Moyes' face tattooed on my ball sack if we win the Premier League, the Champions League and the League Cup this season. Come on, United.
United. That's changed my whole view of United season for me. The other Muppet.
I won't be getting married if that happens.
Do you reckon you can hide that? I reckon if you've got your wrinkly ball sack.
I've got a very nice ball sack, mate.
Is it? Well, really? I mean,
focal point.
So the older Moyes gets, the more it'll look like it.
In fact, I've got a Moyes in a minute, but go on.
So have I. I don't know what you're going to say. But the other Muppet of the week is the Arsenal fan who tweeted, "I'll cover myself in jam if Bentner scores," and tweeted the picture of himself covered head to toe in jam, and just looked like a fucking twat, but it was funny. The picture. Has it got something to do with? Yeah, he did. We talked about that last week.
Strikers for Arsenal. Now.
2 months out. Yeah. Are you going to talk about a certain Arsenal player?
No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about David Moyes.
Yeah. Not tweeted by a certain Arsenal player.
Well, it might have been, but this is by a chap called Chris who does. He's online as Simpsons characters which I done drawn or something. It's basically a hilarious speech cap. he has said, and he writes and draws in a very funny manner, he does it all on paint. He said, because David Moyes hasn't been doing very well at being the new Manchester United manager, I think he should get some hair extensions and some brand new outfits to help him get his confidence back, and then he will be able to win all of the leagues and all of the trophies, and no one will be able to stop him because he will feel like the most confident manager in town. And then he's got a fantastic picture, which I'm showing you now, that he's mocked up of David Moyes in a nice pink top, in drag, saying, I have got my confidence back, now I can win all of these trophies. It is weird, and I highly recommend for anyone who's not seen these pictures, he does Simpsons characters originally, but he does all different pop culture references. Brilliant.
Speaking of other pictures of Moyes, Emmanuel Frimpong, been a bit naughty. Do you see this?
I heard he tweeted
a picture of what looks like basically a hippie in a tie-dye shirt with Moyes' face photoshopped onto it, with a sign that says Goodison on it, or Goodison Park on it, and basically a taxi for Moyes tweet after the defeat to Sunderland.
He's
a fucking idiot. I hope he
don't get in any trouble, though, because really, who fucking cares? It is
a Muppet, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Speaking of Muppets, Ian Holloway going to Millwall.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a good move for Millwall.
Very good move for Millwall, yeah.
But would you reckon this whole, you know, overworked, too much football, 3 months out, and he's totally pressed back into it?
Yeah.
You know, you're either love your job and can't get enough of it, you have what? However long off for the summer period as the manager, you might have a couple of months maybe, but fucking hell, nobody else gets a chance to say, oh look, I'm a little bit tired of my job, I want a few months off, and then come back into a brand new fucking job.
If only.
It's a little
depends
bit
how good you are, mate. I mean, we don't. We definitely don't. I reckon there's quite a few people in the world that could do that. Yeah. But you're right, we definitely couldn't.
Yeah.
Bastards, which is why we're pissed off.
Yeah.
I think he just knew he was never going to get out of trouble at Palace and just jacked it in.
He got binned, though, didn't he?
Or whatever.
Yeah, but he got either. But he did get binned.
That was mutual consent, or whatever.
I think it was mutual consent.
Was it? I'm not sure. Oh, I don't know.
I always take that as being binned.
I think he was binned. Because he's been on BT Sport or a few of them since. Yeah. Talking about Palace, and he kept saying, he was still very much saying, we didn't play that well, we did this, or we did that. And it looked like he still felt that there was. I don't know. For me, it felt that
he's not lost the affinity to the
club. But he did mention the fact that he was tired, he was run down, he just thought he'd lost. Yeah,
it's just something they like to say now. Probably when they've been binned, maybe you never know.
It's an excuse, isn't it? More than anything.
See, Jay Bothroyd signed for fucking Thailand.
Yeah.
Has he?
Well, not actually for Thailand, obviously, but for Thai club Muangthong United, and a £5 million deal.
From who?
He's getting paid £5 million, isn't he?
Yeah.
Was he a free agent, or was he still at QPR?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I think he must have been a free agent, but.
But I mean,
it's great.
He's only 31. He's only 31.
I mean, think about.
And they're basically
a couple bar a day out there. So why
the fuck you need £5 million? Yeah, I don't know.
Can we correct that? Say England international Jay Bothroyd as well. Given he did get one cap.
Well, no, exactly. And he's they want to promote the Asian Champions League out there, and want to promote.
Well, to be honest, I think Robbie Fowler also played for Muangthong or whatever they're called. And given that he couldn't promote it, I'm not sure Jay Bothroyd has that kind of chance. When I was in Thailand, I even saw a pub that had a picture of Darren Fletcher. I was like, didn't see any pictures of Jay Bothroyd.
Yeah, possibly. I've got one ridiculous thing to share with you, which I think has been doing the rounds today, which is fucking hilarious. But before I do that, Joey Barton, I know we probably give him too much
music,
but I mean, I don't know why or where this came from, and we know we're allowed one a show. Tweeted this yesterday. I mean, it was a 3:15 in the morning. I'm going to go with the fact that he was pissed. This is after the Man United game. Great win for Sunderland. Man United on the ropes at the minute. Feel sorry for Moyes. He inherited a dynasty in decline. Fergie is there again, lurking in the shadows like the Grim Reaper. I've got a feeling DM gets bullet and he emerges to save the day. What's the point of him? This is the West one, the third of final tweet. What's the point of him retiring? Is that every game, go on holiday, play golf, spend time with your family, your friends, busy cunt. #Fergie.
And there's our C-bomb for the week.
I apologise, but why is Joey Barton calling Alex Ferguson I don't really quite. Yeah. He's just been. I mean, what? Why?
Well, who knows? But speaking of unfortunate violent incidents in Merseyside, which Joey Barton's been involved in the past.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah. So all the best to the Eldon fan who was stabbed outside Anfield at the weekend. I mean, and that's not to say it was necessarily a Liverpool fan or anything along those lines. Apparently he was stabbed in the back as well, but he's making progress. So it's not something you want to see in this country, in or outside of football. So fingers crossed he's okay. But Dan?
Well, has anyone seen? I'm going to attempt this in a minute, and it might fail spectacularly. So I apologise, listeners, if you can't hear this, because I'm going to attempt to play someone's voicemail through to the pubcast.
We'll see if it works.
We're going to see if it works. But basically, and this will be the show photo because it's fucking ridiculous. Okay. Has anyone seen Gary Goals?
No.
You two have not seen Gary Goals this morning?
No.
Oh, this is probably one of the best things I've ever seen. My captain, and I play the team I play for on the weekend, sent this round to all of us in our WhatsApp group last night. It is the classic signs you get with a poster with a little bit of phone numbers where you can rip apart the adverts?
Oh, I did see this.
Right, so it's a striker available. My name, this is I'm going to quote this directly, right? My name's Gary Goals and I am the top class striker and I will play for your team. My stats. Trials at Doncaster United, in brackets, played against Wayne Rooney's cousin.
Doncaster United?
Yep, I know. I do all types of the goals, includes free kicks, bicycle kicks and the pinos. I think he means penos, but it's spelled P-E-N-O-S.
Oh.
I scored in every match I have ever played in. I do not lie. 5-a-side, 7-a-side and 11-a-side is all good. We've got a phone number and it says, I'm new in the area and I'm free most evenings, so call me and I'll play for you. Please to note, I will not play at the back and go in goals or do rolling subs.
See, I was sceptical until he said he didn't lie, but now, I mean, you know, I just believe him.
I mean, I'm going to try and play this now. It's an Irishman. Where's the speaker on this, Michael?
The speaker is somewhere hidden.
I am, so he's an Irishman, and part of that, no, there he is. So he's an Irishman, and part of the message, I really hope you can hear, goes on about, he can't answer the phone, it's always on voicemail. He says, I'm probably out with a girl or hitting the gym hard right now. So please leave a message. So I'm going to attempt to play this to see if we can, if you can hear this. But if you, fuck it, I'll give you the phone number in a minute. Phone it yourself. It's clearly a wind-up. It's absolutely brilliant.
If only Henry Addington's had turned the feeling off, we'd definitely be able to hear it.
Right.
Here we go.
I am a top class striker and easily available for a 4-a-side, 6-a-side, or 12-a-side game. Well, based on Hackney, you would have wanted to travel most to do with the two goals from Hackney. If you would like me to play in your game, if your name, where the match will take place, the colour of the football clothes that they will wear, and general policies of all the people playing in the football game. I am a top class striker with a proven track record of scoring goals and winning games. All over Ireland, all over Europe, especially Ireland. A couple of things I won't do, go to the back, goals, or two.
There we have it.
There we go.
Gary Goals.
If you couldn't hear that,
if you couldn't hear, we apologise.
There's a minute or so
that was
dead
kind of the end of the show anyway. But we'll put the show the photo. Give him a call. You know, you might need a striker.
Did
Gary
he say
Goals.
The number on there? Or
it's on the poster, which will be the show photo.
Oh, well, there we go. It's fine. So give him a shout, and who knows, maybe he'll score a good pinos for your team.
Yeah, Gary Goals. Hit him up.
Any more?
Melbourne Heart, Drew.
Melbourne
didn't lose.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have a season analysis to date for next week. A quick
nil draw, so clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
So
Andy Carroll's mum and dad took the piss out of him by sending him a birthday card with a horse on it.
Yeah.
Brendan banter.
Good stuff. He's been spotted around the walk before as well, actually. So
yeah, we're only around the corner, aren't
they? I don't know if he drinks with Steve Lomas. I can imagine he might, actually.
Probably.
They probably went the same sort of place. But yeah, I think that's about it for this week.
Yeah, that'll do.
So yeah, the usual stuff. The website's still not working, so we're going to have a look at that and possibly build a new website.
Due to technical issues, but we don't know how to.
We'll work it out. we'll work it out.
Somebody in the office must know.
Yeah.
Someone's got, we work for a national newspaper, someone's got to know how to fucking write for a website, haven't they?
Yeah,
not for free.
I told you, no, you're right. I googled how to make a website for dummies. That didn't really give me a lot.
But on the good side of things, you can still find us both on Audio Boo and on iTunes, so you don't need to visit the website to see us. We're also on Twitter at Football Pubcast. The show will be posted on there. Banter at footballpubcast.co.uk and facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Next week, we'll be back with a review of the best Pinos goals that we've ever seen. And until then, enjoy your week.
Gary Goals.